Welcome to the FPL USA Press Play Podcast. Bucks and Brian on the mic after an exciting game week 32. We have midweek footy action, some tournament play, so hold off making any early transfers, but do make sure to listen to your favorite podcast out of hashtag FPL USA. Without further ado, and before UCL kicks off, Brian Chin, how the hell are you doing, my good friend?
What's good, Mr. Bucks? Glad to be back potting. A nice regular game week with all the fixtures on Saturday and Sunday. Refreshing. It's good to know your score as the weekend finishes up. So let's recap the points, Bucks. How'd you do this game week?
Oh, I smashed it. It's good to be back in the green arrows. I landed on. Yeah, feels good. Feels good to get a couple things right finally. 72 points all out, green arrow from 31 to 23,000 overall.
Big time.
And I have no chips and I rolled my free transfer. So feels really, really nice to earn this green arrow. And only Dominique Solanke had a full blank in my team. Everyone else had at least 4 points or more. So pretty good showing from my starting 11.
You love to see it. And who did you captain this past week?
I captained Salah. I had probably gone back and forth between him, Haaland, and Palmer like 600 million times, but ends up on Salah, and him and Haaland score the exact same amount of points, 8 each. So not too much in it. And Palmer gets 5. Meh, not his best day at the office, so to speak.
Yeah, what's up with Salah? Because I think I've been on him for 3 straight weeks and have been very underwhelmed, and he had to get a late penalty in the game versus Manchester United to even get on the score sheet. He was blowing a bunch of chances once again, just hasn't found that double digit haul that captaincy has been calling for. So how do you rate his performance as of late?
Yeah, a little concerning. He's getting tons of chances, that's without a doubt. I think probably, you know, Ramadan is playing a little bit of a toll on his body and fitness, but Liverpool have just been a little wasteful the last couple matches. And I think specifically Salah is embodying that. You know, he had a record 12 shots, Premier League record 2 games ago. And then this one, he had at least 2 or 3 golden chances. And thank God he got that penalty, because it was looking like he was running fast into another blank with this effort against Manchester United. But he rewards the captainers with a penalty kick goal. Still get the points despite how it goes in the net. And we'll take that all the way to the bank. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, and I think you're tripled up on Liverpool, right? You have Diaz, Darwin, and Salah. So nice to see each of those guys contributing to your solid score and a nice 30%+ green arrow.
Yeah. It's a nice differential to be tripled up on their attack. Wish they poured a couple more goals in. Specifically, Darwin had at least 1 goal that should have easily rippled the back of the net, but that's part of the fun of owning him.
Yeah, but it's Darwin, so you never know with that roller coaster. He's a demon rider, that one.
Yeah, he's a trip to the pharmacy, a trip to your therapist's couch each and every game week, especially if you're a Liverpool fan. God, he must have a lot of Liverpool faithful pulling their hair out each and every game week.
All right, transitioning to my team, I scored 65 points, got a small green arrow. My 2 transfers in both netted points, so that was very good to see. I brought Branthwaite in for the clean sheet, and then Palmer adds in 5, and I moved out Cash and McAtee. So nice to use those 2 frees. I wish I had an extra one this week, though, because I am only having Haaland in my side, and I have a feeling, depending on what happens in Europe, that Manchester City could put up a big goal tally this upcoming week. But we'll talk about them a little bit later as we fast forward to our game week preview. Next up, let's just highlight Black Wolf, Mr. Dan. He will be on the pod later in April. We're excited to have him back. We really miss him around here, sending him positive vibes. And I know he's active in the FPL community on Twitter, getting all of his takes out there. And there are lots of Wolves questions as well that we'll tackle later in this episode. So he ended up on 67 points. He got a green arrow up to 7.7K overall in the world. And he brought in Pickford for Areola with his free transfer. And that instantly adds 8 points to his tally. So well done there. He's now has a double game week keeper in the mix as well for 34. So it's a very solid move. They play Liverpool in one of those matches, but I think from a save points perspective, he'll probably get 6+ saves versus Liverpool in that one. And even if he ends up conceding, I think he'll get 3 or 4 points in the first or second game versus Liverpool. So nice player to have. I kind of wish I had him at the moment because their defense is looking strong. And that's one of the reasons why I went with the cheap guy in Branthwaite.
Yeah, I rate both your moves. Everton defense looks solid. Unfortunately, we should just double click on Everton. They got another points penalty, docked a further 2 points by the Yikes. FA. It seems like if you're Nottingham Forest or Everton and you don't have the largest and most cash-strapped fan base, let alone ownership, that you are getting the penalties left, right, and center. But if maybe you're a team that wears blue with a little more money in their ownership group, like Man City or our Chelsea Blues, you are skating by at the moment by the skin of your teeth. So let's not jinx it for Chelsea. We can't drop any more points this season at risk of being relegated because that team absolutely stinks to high heaven. But there is some good news in the FPL game. All three hosts of the pod end up on Green Arrow. So you love to see it when it does happen. And it must be an eclipse and an earthquake in 1 week because we finally get all three of us back in the Green Arrows.
That's right. The game week average was 56 points. And we just want to shout out the manager of the game week who did it very, very well this week. We have Adam McCreskey adds in with 97 points. My goodness, what a tally. This guy got
Adam,
a lot.
What? 97?
A lot of bench points came in for him. Let me tell you, he started Areola. He got Dubravka's 9 points off the bench. He started Foden. He gets 11 points from Pedro Porro. Oh, my goodness. And then he also, let's see, I think this might even be a dead team. I mean, Darwin came off the bench for him as well. And then he had Watkins for 13. Oh, and of course, the star of the game week, Mr. Kevin De Bruyne, 18 points. Very well done for Adam as the high scorer this week on our free press play pod.
Yeah, you love to see that, Adam. Congratulations on a massive score. And you're vibing like X-Men 97 with those 97 points in your team. So hopefully you get back engaged for game week 33, which is coming this weekend. So you can even score bigger in double game week 34, which is right around the corner. With that, let's take our first break. When we come back, we will rewind the action to the weekend and cover the highlights from game week 32.
All right, time to hit rewind on the DVR, if those still even exist out there. And let's discuss some of the highlights from game week 32. And that starts with the opening match of Man City versus Palace, who win 4-2. And Bucks, I got to give you some grief here. You had been slandering the good Kevin De Bruyne. You'd been talking some shit. And wow, does he come in with a fucking banger. 18 points, 2 goals, an assist, and 3 bonus points. Vintage Kev. Obviously, you can't do it as often as Pep would like these days, but he's still world-class by all accounts.
Yeah, 2 goals, an assist, and 3 bonus points. He's the top scorer this game week. He must have been listening to our podcast while looking at a photo of Thibaut Courtois in the pregame locker room away at Palace because he came in a man on a mission to get vengeance and revenge. I was slandering him. Courtois slept with his girlfriend. Whatever slights he could use for motivation in this game, he was bringing it. And it was a truly turn-back-the-clock performance from KDB. Probably the best he's looked all season, to be perfectly honest. I know he's had a number of these big explosive efforts for the FPL game and in real life, but he was just everywhere. And I don't think he barely put 1 foot wrong really the entire match against Palace. And they needed all his goal involvements because City's defense looked absolutely dreadful. To concede 2 goals against Palace is shambolic, especially for a team going for their fourth straight title. So 4-2, Haaland also back in the goals. He gets 8 points. That's good to see. But the big news here was Foden gets fully rested. So I think he could be back on the menu in a big way when we look ahead to game week 33 and their match against Luton Town.
I think it's also important to note that Rico Lewis plays in the midfield slot next to Rodri, and he comes in with a goal at a very tidy game. He is super, super cheap. So as an enabler, he could be somebody that could free up some funds, especially if you're not on wildcard. He's somebody that you could hold, and then hopefully he'll feature later in the double game week. But because City have so many injuries in the back, I just don't trust them at all for clean sheets. So it's just one of those seasons for City that they'll have to continue to grind out some efforts. But it's good to see them put up a big goal tally. We haven't seen that maybe in 6 weeks. So we'll see if it continues this week as they face Luton. And then to add to that, I think this really talks about Crystal Palace as well. And this week we're going to have Liverpool playing Palace. So I think all of your assets that you have from Liverpool are going to be great to start this week. And I think that's some team that, man, they're got to be close to the beach, right? They're fully locked in for next season for the Premier League. So I think they're going to continue to leak goals. Gehi is out. So is Chris Richards. They have a lot of injuries, and I just don't see them keeping any clean. So I expect a lot of goals in this upcoming one for Liverpool.
Yeah, they're definitely a team to target, but they do have a double in 34. So Eze has penalties. Mateta, as their forward, is cheap as chips. He got a goal in this one. I think he's 5 million. He could be on the menu if you are looking to bench boost man. In 34.
I'm being punished because I went with the in-form Muniz instead, and I had the money to get Mateta, and Muniz has gotten 10 points over the last three matches, where Mateta has continued to deliver. So he's obviously not on pens or anything, but he's getting a lot of returns in open play. Let's see, 8, 9, 2, and 5 in his last four. So he's a player 1.5% owned. Could be a small differential if you're looking to bring an enabler in, play in a 3-5-2 for the double game week 34. All right, let's keep it moving.
I won't be there. I won't be there. Are you going to be there? Do you have plans to swap Muniz to him?
No, definitely not. But I am looking at Eze and Elise, who does come in to feature. And we have seen Elise take a penalty while Eze is on the pitch. So it'll be interesting to see once both of them start, who will be on pens. I know Eze has like a decent record, but Elise's might be better. So somebody that I will be eyeing for double game week 34 when it comes to that time, because going down from Son to Elise or Eze and then upgrading somebody else in my team could add a couple double game weekers and free up a lot of cash.
I like that plan a lot. Let's stay at the top of the table and go to Arsenal. They absolutely roll past Brighton. They had way too much in the Arsenal. Ha ha ha, dad joke there. They went 3-0. I think most notably Saka is fit to start. He looked great. He had the penalty. Ends up with 10 points, a clean sheet, and 2 bonus points. And the only reason Saka didn't have an even larger haul is because my guy Kai keeps doing the damn thing. He has another double-digit, double-return performance. He ends up with 14 points, a goal, assist, and 3 bonus points. In the last 7 matches, he has 4 matches with 1 goal and 1 assist. Ooh. And only 1 blank in that span. So he's been hot like wasabi since game week 25. And I think he's nailed to be the number 9 for Arsenal for the rest of the season. He's playing that well and fitting that good into the system.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I went with Odegaard maybe 4 weeks ago, and he is definitely trailing Kai in terms of the points totals. It was interesting in this one to see Gabby Jesus play on the left, with Martinelli still recovering from his gashed leg, and Trossard drops to the bench. So Kai, out of position, very much affordable player. I think he could be a fun differential to bring in for double game week 34.
Totally agreed. But we should say that Arsenal's defense right now is the standard of the Premier League. They are so far and away the best defensive unit.
Not even close.
They're the only players that are reliable for clean sheet points this season. And it's really not even close. I mean, yes, Virgil van Dijk is a great defender, but there's not another plus defender in that Liverpool back line. I think the same could be said about Man City. Chelsea are leaking goal. I mean, there's just leaks everywhere else in every other team. And Arsenal, you know, you could really easily roll into almost every game with double defense and feel like you're probably going to get at least a couple points.
Yeah, their three defensive assets are all leading the defenders' point totals. White with 136, Saliba 131, Gabriel with 121, because he missed some of those games early in the season. And I think the big takeaway for me that I definitely did not stick to my virtues. I usually like to go double defense when it is one of the better defenses. I've consistently gone with like Laporte and somebody like Cancelo, and always look for that double up with a cheaper center back. And when you look at the value by replacement player in their position, it's not even close when you look at the class and the clarity that the defense from Arsenal provides. So I should have probably gone that way instead of doubling up on the Arsenal attack.
Yeah, but if you went double attack, I think Kai is very clearly the player to choose. And I feel even stronger about that than I did a couple pod episodes ago. I've really been seeing the praises of Kai for some time now. But Gabby Jesus just came out with a quote saying he hasn't played pain-free football in over a year. So that just means that he's going to be a rotation risk. He's probably now on his way, kind of on the decline, whereas Kai Havertz, I think, is still 23 or 24 years old. He's going to be an Arsenal player in this side for years to come. And I think he fits his size, his speed, a little bit of shithousery. He has a good profile to really match with Arteta and the rest of this Arsenal team. So I like the fit. And if I only had two Arsenal players, I think I would be leaning go Kai for the double game week and then reevaluate a little bit afterwards, because he's a big differential and you're looking to spike point hauls at this point in the season. There's only six game weeks left.
And then lastly, I just wanted to say, fuck De Zerbi. This guy overrated once again.
Broad.
Big game, and he and his team do not show up. I know they're playing in Cissa, who's coming back from a long injury, Adingra. Some of these guys just got marked out of this game with ease.
Maybe that's why Chelsea sucks so hard, because we're tried to recreate Brighton in London, and Brighton aren't that good of a team when all is said and done. We've kind of found that out over the last little bit. Let's go to the third team in the title race. That is Liverpool. They travel to Manchester United to face off against what's become a bogey team of theirs this season. They are flying, but they seem to not be able to get results against Ten Hag and the Reds of Manchester United. 2-2. This was a shocker. I lost some money. I lost some marbles in this one.
You're preaching to the choir. We did not do well calling the results of that game. And after getting absolutely throttled, absolutely just blackballed over the course of a couple year span, where Liverpool was consistently hanging three plus goal margin victories against the Red Devils. Now they've played them very tight in the FA Cup. They beat them. They played them tight here. And honestly, if Juan Bissaka doesn't lose his damn mind and make just an absolutely foolish tackle — that tackle is something you do in primary school — I couldn't believe that they let Liverpool off the hook and ended up with a 2-2 draw, because I thought that given the game state, they had no way to really put the ball in the back of the net. I mean, how many shots did this Liverpool team have? And just a lack of finishing has been a bit surprising over the last couple of game weeks.
In the first half, going into halftime, Liverpool had 15 shots to Manchester United 0. But that didn't matter, because in the score sheet, Bruno Fernandes and Kobbie Mainoo both had wonder goals. I think we could say that those will both be in the conversation for the Puskas Goal of the Year award. I mean, the way that Bruno took that mistaken pass from Kwanzaa first time and put it upper 90, that was incredible. I mean, that the skill needed to hit that ball without any touch, without any control, blast it by the keeper from, what was it, like 40 or 45 yards out?
From deep. And
that was Steph Curry.
We were talking about it offline, and just the, you know, obviously with Bruno, there's a lot of complaining, and I know he's probably not as happy with the way his team has played this season, but he does give a damn, and he kind of willed them back into that game. And obviously the mistake from Kwanzaa, but to just, again, like you said, one touch, just fully be engaged, ready to launch that ball, was a big change of momentum in the game. And then they took a 2-1 lead from Menu's wonder goal. And that kid has a bright future for them at the Red Devils. So, well, it'll be interesting to see
18
who else.
Years old. 18
yeah, it'll be
years
interesting
old
to
for
see
Menu.
Who else they can pair with him in midfield as he continues to grow. But he should be in a Manchester United kit for a long time.
Yeah, let's just do a quick rundown from that game. So Mainoo is the top point scorer with 10 points. Bruno gets 9 points. Salah gets 8 points. Luis Diaz rounds it out with 7 points. So there were a lot of points for attackers in this match. But I think everyone is kind of leaves that game, especially if you're a Liverpool fan, wanting to at least see a winner. And Liverpool just didn't do enough in that second half. I think they were very wasteful. And that's been a theme in their last matches. They're not being clinical. They're not nearly clinical enough in the last couple games.
Next up, we're going to cover the Villa game, who come back to earn a 3-3 draw versus the Bees, and Ollie Watkins, who is in very few teams right now because the forwards are so focused on double game weeks. He comes in with a great header goal and another one later to draw for a point. And the top four race is firmly on. And I think this just adds another dimension to the just race as we go in for the run-in, because Tottenham continue to get some solid results. Tottenham win 3-1 as well. So between Villa and Tottenham, I mean, there's actually a chance that both could make Champions League next year because of the expanded field and the calculations between who's going further in
right now.
Europa
both are in
and
yeah right yeah. now both are qualified.
Yeah, and it's not set in stone yet that they'll have five teams from the Premier League in UCL next year, but it does give each team a lot to play for in every single game, and that's great for their assets, especially with the double doubles coming up later on, as we've had some announcements for Spurs in game week 35.
Love that shout. I will say that Watkins is one of the players that is absolutely punishing engage managers this season. And he's a player that if you just set and forget him from the start of the season, you'd be massively flying. And I keep being like a moth to light and falling into the Darwin trap. I've sold Watkins twice now this season for Darwin. Both times I do, instantly punished by massive hauls from Ollie, the junkyard dog Watkins, who we love on this podcast. And yet I keep doing it. I mean, I think I would do it again if I had more FPL season left. It's just the allure of a Liverpool forward with the goals and the shot creation and the XG that he puts up. It's tantalizing. But at the end of the day, Watkins is so far and away the better player. He's the talisman for Villa. And I think this is a big lesson for next season to just remember that, you know, the shiny new thing is not always better than Old Faithful. And right now, Ollie Watkins is Old Faithful. He is doing it each and every game. He's arguably the player of the season with the way he's performed and the way Villa has performed around him. So one to watch for the rest of the run-in, for sure.
And then just want to highlight the defenders from Tottenham who come big this game week. Both Van de Ven and Porro net goals for 11 pointers each in this one. They obviously concede and should have probably conceded a hat trick to Chris Wood. that miss that Chris Wood had from 2 yards out, he tried to smash the ball all the way across the world. He hit it so hard and it went off the post and all the way like 25 yards away. I couldn't believe he missed that absolute sitter, but those guys are going to be very popular when it comes to wildcard 35, and you'll be considering at least one of their defenders for the attacking returns. And Porro has put in a couple good shifts lately, and he scores his first Premier League goal this week.
Yeah, big 11 points for Pedro Porro owners. That was a long time coming if you kept the faith with him and haven't switched sides or been a traitor and gone on the Udogar on the other side. So great to see that. Let's wrap it up this damn rewind with the Chelsea Blues, who are just
do
so
we have
keen.
To? Do we have to?
Yeah, oh, we have Fox. To. We have to. They're keen
Let out
on
your
breaking
tears.
My spirit.
Give me your tears, Gypsy.
Yeah, they're keen on breaking my spirit, breaking my balls, breaking my spirit, whatever they could break.
And your bank account.
Yeah, they suck right now. It's just remarkable that, you know, Palmer has, what, like 30 goal involvements this year? And yet this team is sitting squarely and deservedly in, I think, 12th place. They're firmly bottom half of the table quality. And they drop another game against a relegation-bound team. They have a draw in the 93rd minute of extra time to Chef U away. That is inexcusable. They also drop points to 10-man Burnley 2 game weeks ago. This is just not the pedigree or the performance of a team that is in kind of on the rise and making waves for years to come. And I will just double click. I think Pochettino's substitutions have been god awful this season. And this is the third time that he's brought on this kid Cassidy, who looks like a really bright young talent in midfield. It's the third time he's come on as a late sub. It's the third time Chelsea have scored pretty soon afterwards. So devastating result again from the Chelsea Blues as they drop more points in the table.
Yeah, they give up a goal in the 97th, 98th minute. Very much a disappointment. I had turned it off, to be honest. I had to run out the door and was very surprised to see a 2-2 draw come up there. And Palmer leaves on the 73rd minute and is one of the first games in a long time that he hasn't played the full 85 plus minute mark. So Poch, again, like you said before, his substitutions have not been great. And we're pretty fortunate to get even 5 points from Palmer, but he's just such a classy talent. Without him, where would the Blues be? Where would they be, Bucks?
Yeah, they would be in the shitter. That's where they'd be. And it's just really concerning because I think Chef U really should have won this game. I think that is the big bogey that is the big thing that is not being discussed is that Chef U destroyed us from an XG perspective, and they were the better team from the eye test also. So I think with that, I'll finish my cry fest.
Yeah, hold on. I want to discuss their defense a little bit because Gusto misses this one just with an illness. He's a very popular player in FPL, but when you're looking at their upcoming double-doubles coming, I just don't know if you even consider the goalkeeper Petrovic plus Gusto. I think it's Gusto and then Palmer, and then maybe not even a third asset, as bizarre as that sounds. I just think we give up way too many chances, way too many goals. And so I'm very much off of their defense, and you just hope that Gusto will continue to create chances. And he has been doing that. So he is still a great buy coming up here with these upcoming fixtures, but I'm definitely concerned. You're not going to get many clean sheets at all.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stay away. I think I might just be on Palmer the rest of the season. The double game weeks aren't great. Gusto would be the only other player I think that would enter the chat. And beyond that, Petrovic is not reliable enough, and you definitely don't want to be doubled up on that Chelsea defense. I watch every game. Take it from me. They are a hard and brutal watch these days.
All right, we're going to take our quick break and come back and fast forward to game week 33 before the big double game week 34. We'll be right back.
Sorry. And we're back. Let's fast forward and preview the action to come in game week 33. Let's first take a moment to give some wisdom, and that is to hold off on making early transfer moves, as there will be Champions League, Europa League, and Europa Conference League taking place on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. And we have a lot of big teams with flush matchups coming in game week 33 and beyond. So you want to make sure that your players are rested, they don't come off injured, and any transfer moves in, you won't have to reverse with a -4 hit. So with that, let's go to the Hall potential matches in game week 33.
And that starts with Luton at City. It's an interesting matchup because a lot of people have moved off of Foden, who got the full rest on the weekend. And again, they have a really tough fixture coming up versus Real Madrid. I expect them to field their best 11 with Haaland, KDB, and Foden all playing in that one. So it'll be interesting to see if we get any leaks, because City is such a popular team. Hopefully that will indicate who might start. Haaland is a huge captaincy shout this week. He's going to be far and away the number one captain. But if you're going to go differential and still have Foden in your team, that could also be a very interesting play. I could see Foden playing midweek versus Real Madrid and then also playing versus Luton and getting 60 plus minutes. Whereas I think if KDB plays a lot of minutes versus Real Madrid, he'll probably drop to the bench. And we've seen that Pep wants to have at least one of those guys in their side. So what are your thoughts about targeting this Luton match and bringing Foden in this week potentially, even though he does not have a double game week in 34?
I like it in isolation. It's going to be very tough for my team. The midfielder I have to sacrifice right now is Douglas Luiz, and I can't make a straight swap of him to Foden. I think many managers are in the same position. However, if I had Heung-Min Sung, I would definitely be considering a hokey-cokey play, move him to Foden this game week, hold for next when Sun has a blank, and Foden will hopefully play despite the Champions League fixtures bookending this week and next week's matches. And then for game week 35, you move right back to Heung-Min Sung, where he'll have a double game week then and also a double game week in game week 37. So that way you're maximizing the fixtures and you're getting two high upside explosive type players in real life and in the FPL game.
Yeah, it's actually something I'm considering this week is bringing Foden in for captaincy as a differential. And we've seen him hit some really, really big point totals this season. But many people are not going to be able to grab him because they're building their double game week 34 team. You're probably going to want to have at least nine doublers, I would like to say, in 34. And there might not be enough transfers to bring in somebody like Foden. So one to watch for sure. And he'll be a very popular differential this week. Next up, let's highlight Crystal Palace at Liverpool. Man, I'm jealous of your triple up in the Liverpool attack. This has at least three goals in it from the Liverpoolians. So Diaz, Darwin, probably the likes of Salah, all great picks this week. Could be interesting to see if there's any rotation potentially. I know that Liverpool is in the Europa Conference shenanigans, so they will have a fixture, I believe, on Thursday and then a quick turnaround before they play again on the weekend. So we're hoping to get, you know, a post-game presser from Klopp indicating on where he might go in terms of his front three to play on the weekend.
Yeah, I think the nature of the Premier League title race is that Liverpool are going to be stretched to play all their horses in all these matches. They're all must win from here on out. So I think that Darwin, Luis Diaz, and Salah, who I own all three of, are going to start this game. They'll probably also have to start both matches in the double game week 34. That's just the nature of where they stand if they want to have any hope of lifting the trophy at the end of the season. So I think for Luton at Man City, I'm saying that's 4-1 to the Citizens. And Crystal Palace at Liverpool, I'm saying that's 3-1, with both home teams getting all 3 points.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about the defense for Liverpool. They did give up quite a bit of chances in the second half versus Manchester United, and I just don't see them keeping a ton of clean. So I'm currently on Connor Bradley. I'm going to have to keep him in my side until we get clear evidence that TAA is going to be back. He is supposed to be in training this week and hitting the grass, so we will see if he will begin to be a factor in FPL. In a free hit scenario for 34, he could be a really fun player to get because many managers who are not free hitting will just not be able to invest that amount of funds in the back line.
Yeah, I like that play. I think TAA could be interesting, but I would be weary because I think there's a high likelihood he only starts one of those two double game week matches. And that would put me off him even ever so slightly.
I know. And that's tough for me because that means Connor Bradley probably plays one match. Maybe he comes off the bench for TA in the other one. So it's like a 1.5 fixture run for little Connor Bradley. So I'm a little concerned. I'm not sure if I'll be upgrading him to VVD or if I'll just be putting him on the bench or even starting him. I'm still up in the air there, but it all depends on the availability for TA.
Yeah. Heads, everyone else wins. Tails, you lose. That's kind of been the season of late for you, Brian. Ain't that the truth?
Womp womp.
Looking on the other side of the table is the best matches in real life, the most important matches from an IRL perspective. And that starts towards the top of the table with Spurs traveling to St. James Park to play leaky Newcastle. Almost a must-win game for both these teams. And I think You would have to say the slight favorites are Newcastle just based on home cooking, but their recent form and defensively, their structure and their solidity has been in serious question the last couple of months here. So what's your prediction? And would you be starting all of your Spurs players?
I think you're going to start any of your assets. If you have Gordon, he was looking pretty spry in the last match as well. And I think that based on the openness and the fact that Tottenham need this match for top four contention, I think it's going to be a fascinating watch. I'm predicting 3-2 to Tottenham in this one.
Whoa, you got the visitors squeaking it out. I think it's going to be very entertaining. I think 2-2, and they share the points. I think Isak should be back to get a goal. I think Son should be back to get a goal. And this will be wildly entertaining end-to-end style football. And yeah, it's going to be a great watch for us neutrals, that's for sure.
All right, lastly, let's highlight Villa playing at Arsenal. Villa has dropped off a cliff in terms of their performance lately. Still, obviously, a very solid team, but they are conceding lots of goals. The back line of Diego Carlos and Pau Torres, meh, they're mids. They're fine. But if you're looking to finish in the top four, you need to put better shifts in. So, what are your expectations when they visit the Arsenal team?
Yeah, 3-1 to Arsenal. I think this is actually going to be slightly more cagey than the score line might reflect, but I think Arsenal have enough firepower and enough stability at the back. Whereas right now, Emi Martinez has been out with illness, so they've been starting this Olsen guy who ain't it. And like you said, the defense and the midfield of Villa are going to be hamstrung because they're going to be without key players. And then, as I mentioned, Douglas Luiz is out on suspension for yellow card accumulation, so he will miss this game. And I think that's a big L for Aston Villa. And if they look to control or have any chance of controlling the middle of the park against a team like Arsenal. So I think Arsenal continue to get it done in this match and leave with all 3 points.
All right. And lastly, as part of our fast forward, we just want to highlight the fact that the double game week 35 fixtures have been announced. We will have Chelsea playing away at Villa and home versus Tottenham, and then Tottenham playing at home versus Arsenal, and then away versus Chelsea. So very difficult fixtures, but the attackers you would have to put your faith in for both of those. So food for thought as we look past double game week 34 and look ahead to these end of the season run in. And I can't believe Bucks. Wow. We've done so many podcasts this week. We've spewed from the mouth nearly every week, a little bit of banter, and now only 6 more weeks left of fantasy. Crazy to think about.
I'm not ready to say goodbye just yet, Brian. And I definitely won't be ready to say goodbye once we have Black Wolf back in the mix. So, with that, let's transition to my favorite section of the podcast. We do it every week. Community questions. Let's dive into the mailbag.
Mailbag time. All right. At FPL Paz asks, who are the best defenders to target if you're planning on wildcarding in game week 35? And then another question from at FPL Barrister. He wants to know who the best defenders are to target for the run-in. So defenders are not my cup of tea to bring in on transfers. I'd rather just save those for the attackers, but who do you highlight here for the next couple games, Bucks? Who's on your watch list from a defensive standpoint?
There are not many good options right now. So I think really what you're looking at is defenders who moonlight as attackers. So Ryan Ait Nouri, he's been playing out of position, sometimes as a striker, sometimes as left wing. He did leave that Wolves match against West Ham with a slight knock and a calf injury,
That was tough because he got the early penalty drawn and then Sarabia converts it versus West Ham, but unfortunately he leaves in the 55th minute. But we have spoken to the Black Wolf. He expects him to be fine for this upcoming fixture. And when we're looking at their fixtures, they're playing away at NFO this week. So Ait Nouri is a great start. But then in 34, a little bit of a mixed bag. They do have two home fixtures. They're going to play at home versus Arsenal, and then at home versus Bournemouth. So both of those players, definitely decent to grab.
Yeah, and then I'd want to have at least one Arsenal defender. I'm on Ben White and Gabriel, but Saliba has been recently in the bonus points in a nice way. So all three of those guys should be on the menu and in your considerations. Beyond that, I think Verge is an obvious pick. Liverpool have the double game week. They play Palace, who are not scoring many goals in 33. So he can be a transfer in now and a hold for the rest of the season. And then a dark horse that I really like is Reguilón from Brentford. They have a nice
this
spell.
Mother bleeper. Oh my goodness. We did not
I'm
talk
not even
about
trolling
this
you.
Earlier.
I'm not trolling you. I
we did not talk
I'm
about
not.
This earlier, Bucks, but I had 22 points on my bench this week. That really is painful. I once again got the flippy floppy wrong between Dubravka and Neto. At least Neto scored 4 points, but Dubravka had a 9-pointer versus Fulham. Part of that was I wanted to start Muniz and thought he did have a couple good chances in that match to continue his form. But alas, I get that call wrong. And then, oh, I have Reggie on my bench. I'm punishing him. He was in my third slot this week because I've been pissed at the times that I've played him. Red cards, bad business in the free hit 29. But this week they're playing at Sheffield United, and that's a great fixture. And then in game week 34, they're going to play Luton. So two really great opportunities. Again, you're probably not going to get a clean from Brentford, but they are not quite out of the drop zone yet. So they still have a lot to play for and are not at the beach by any means. So he could be your third defender if you want to rotate him in this week.
Yeah, the fixture difficulty rating is a sea of green for Brentford from a defensive point of view, and he's cheap. So he's a great enabler, and he's easy to bench if you have better options. Those Arsenal guys are obviously better options in most fixtures, which I'm sure, Barrister, that will be music to your ears as a hardcore Gunners supporter. However, it's all about just setting yourself up for the optimal three at the back in each and every game week on wildcard. So I'd want to have one Arsenal guy, maybe two, eight Nori, and then Reguilón can kind of rotate. And if you want to go big at the back, you'd get Verge. If not, maybe you go Connor Bradley and keep it cheap and as tidy as possible. What say you on that, Brian?
Yeah, I like all those shouts. I also wanted to add, you could definitely go for a rotation with Everton defenders. Again, Everton just got docked some points. Very unfortunate for the Goodison Park fans, but going with Branthwaite or going with Tarkowski, Mikulenko, I think these are all decent picks. They have two home fixtures in the double. They're going to play home versus NFO and then home versus Liverpool. They're going to just go for the Voodoo Dolls versus Liverpool. And that probably makes the shout of, again, Pickford in goal for that double game week a lot more appetizing than going for a outfield defender. But they are only able to grind out wins, so they need to be locked in and focused. So as your fourth or fifth defender, grabbing an Everton guy isn't bad because they're also super cheap.
Yeah, keep it cheap. That's the name of the game. Barrister's also asking about the best City assets to target for 33 and 35. Specifically, if you have wildcard 35, I would think you would want to have a way back to get Foden and Haaland for sure. And I don't know, is Diaz the guy? Is Gvardiol the guy? It's hard to land on the third pick. I think that's the challenge with them still being in Champions League, them still being in the FA Cup competition. There's just FA Cup, League Cup. Who gives a fuck? That's what I say. That's the cup that we want. Anyway, they are going to be competing on all fronts. They are arguably the best team in Europe and have a chance to win the treble once again. So I don't know. I think for sure you'd want to have Foden and Haaland. And that third pick is kind of a free roll of the dice.
I'm going to shout out Rodri, who is somebody that you could have as your fifth midfielder, potentially on wild card. Again, he's an absolute world-class player in the middle of the park. He has been putting up a lot more attacking outfits this season. So somebody that could definitely come in as a differential. So just wanted to highlight him because I know we've talked about him before in the pod, but have never gone for him in our midfield.
What do his attacking outfits look like? Are they spiky BDSM style get-ups or what is he? What's he fancy?
I mean, can you believe this guy? He's putting on a rainbow jacket of sorts. 7 goals, 8 assists this season. 15 attacking returns for Rodri, that's pretty damn good. So he came away with 5 points this week. He had 12 points versus Villa, and he's got a couple double-digit hauls this season, maybe five or six. So I think, again, as a cheap player on Wildcard 35, he's on my watch list.
They have yet to drop points when he is starting in the team. He is the most important player on a team filled with world-class players. So one to watch. And if he was on the open market, he'd break every single transfer record. He'd be the first $200 million man.
He is, I think, on a run of 64 games unbeaten when he starts. I mean, that is absolutely insane. It's been over a year since he has dropped 3 points in a match, either for domestic cup, for Champions League, for Premier League. So again, it's just a differential shout that you could potentially consider, 5.6 million. So 6% owned. He fits the bill if you're looking for a third player who's going to play a ton of minutes for City.
Next question comes from The Run CMC, aka Corey. He's asking, he has Dominique Solanke and Haaland, Set and Stone as two of his forwards. Who would be our pick as the third striker for a game week 34 dead end team? So what that means is Corey is planning to hit the wild card chip in 35. He needs a 2 week punt for game week 33, and then hopefully play twice in double game week 34. So anyone jumping off the page for you, Brian?
At this point in time, I'm still a little Darwin curious. I know he's a pain in the ass, but he has been trickling the points. I don't think he's probably going to get those braces that we were all hoping for, but he could be somebody that is a big factor, especially in free hit teams in 34. Otherwise, you're looking at Mateta and Cunha, most likely. But I think Cunha's minutes are still up and down. We haven't seen him play consistently since he got an injury. So I think it's hard to go with him unless you're bringing him in for game week 34. I don't think you can go for him this week. Anybody else to shout here?
Yeah, I think the list is short. It's one name. It's Darwin. He has three plus fixtures with 33 and the double in 34. I expect he'll start in all of them. He's clearly first choice. He's not first choice in our FPL hearts because he keeps wasting chances all across the front of the goal. That being said, he has the highest upside of any available double game week 34 striker, and he has a good fixture against Palace in 33. So anything beyond that, I think, is overthinking it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. When we're looking at game week 34 specifically, I know there's been some chatter about moving Haaland out and bringing Darwin in. Erling Haaland plays away at Brighton. Brighton's defense has been a little bit better, but I still expect City to score three goals in that match. So I think I would probably just keep Haaland as your single game week player in your side. If you're going to have 9 or 10 other double game week players, you should be set and maybe look to bring in Luis Diaz or somebody else in, as a lot of managers will also be moving off of Son, who blanks that game week. So it might be a little bit easier to play in the 3-5-2, keep Haaland, and then upgrade one of your midfielders for that double game week specifically.
I like that. That's a creative solution to Corey's question. Let's go to Uzi FPL. He's asking, if you have a bench boost chip, but also have Spurs and Chelsea assets in your team, when is the optimal time to play the chip?
Woof, that's complicated. I mean, I have the bench boost chip as well. I think if you have a decent team in 34, it's not the worst time to play it. I know that obviously the likes of Spurs will be playing Arsenal in that game week, so it's a little bit lower of an upside, of course. But I mean, for bench boost, it's like if you have a playing goalkeeper and then three playing players, it could be interesting to play it in 34. So I'm not a big fan of the bench boost, and I know you aren't either. You played it in game week one this season just as a test run out, a little game theory there. So what are your thoughts on his question?
Uzi, it's a good problem to have, but I think probably game week 37 is going to be the easiest to plan for with this many game weeks between now and then. And you don't really want to be selling your Spurs players where they blank in double game week 34, only to then bring them back in for when they have a double in 35. So that's probably a low EV move to use transfers on those moves. That being said, I think the Chelsea fixture in 34 is fine. My plan right now is to have 9 doublers with Palmer and Holland as my single game week guys, and I'm not too fussed about that. So I think 37 is probably the easiest, but if you have a number of double game week players from Chelsea and from Spurs, maybe it's worth exploring if 35 works for your team. That way you can make moves, really land on a lot of doublers in 34, maximize your points there. And then you have a little bit of a differential with, you know, 15 guys going into game week 35. And there are some good fixtures on the schedule for that one. So those, I think it's one of those two. 35 or 37 is probably the best course of action.
Yeah, I would lean towards 37 because Chelsea plays away at NFO and then Tottenham plays at home versus Burnley. So those are chances where you can get a lot of points from those bench guys versus 34, which is a much more difficult set of fixtures for your Tottenham and Chelsea assets. Next up, we have another question from Graham Atwell, who is also down under. He's good friends with Uzi and in our mini league. He asks us what we would do with the triple captaincy. He still has that chip left to go, and if there are any standout selections with the remaining fixtures. Originally, he was planning to play it on Salah in 34, but he's playing like a plank, and so he wants to look at other alternatives. So, triple captain chip, what do you think here, Bucks?
Yeah, Salah in 34 is going to be the answer, Grandma. Sorry to disappoint you, brother, because I know you're a big United fan, and you were thrilled with that 2-2 result at Old Trafford. You were popping off in our mini league message board, so love to see that and love to see you taking a little go at some of the Liverpool faithful in the community. That being said, I think it's Holland in 37 or Salah in 34, and easy peasy breezy, just go for two of the best players in the game with double game weeks and hope there's still something to play for with Holland in 37 when that double comes around for him. So those are my 2 cents, and I think those are kind of the only two quality options. I wouldn't want to use it on Sun with two North London derbies in their double in 35. And I definitely wouldn't want to use it on Palmer from Chelsea with the way that that Chelsea team is playing so hot and cold. You don't know which one you're going to get.
I think you could also save the chip for 37 if you're not going to be using any other chips that game week, because you could look at, again, if the title race is still on and very tight at the top, going with Holland in double game week 37 could make a lot of sense as well. So those are probably your most likely shouts. And I do agree with you, the upside in those London derbies are not as high, so I would probably save it for 37.
Yeah, it's just a big risk because you don't know if the title will already be decided, and maybe Arsenal or City are bounced out of Champions League. So again, they might just be fully focused on the Premier League or might be fully focused elsewhere. So it's a risk, but listen, you don't want to put it on Salah. I get it. You're a Manchester United fan, so you got to play your own game, so to speak.
I like Graham, though, because he's a realist about his state of the Old Trafford team. I mean, he slanders them quite a bit and calls them all worthless planks. So it'll be interesting to see how the run-in goes for Graham, but we appreciate his question as always.
Yeah, he's more at grips with reality than I am with my Chelsea Blues, that's for sure. Let's go last but not least to at FPL Hunt. Connor's asking if we are overlooking Garnacho in double game week 34. And if so, which double game week mids would we not play over him? This is a tough question. Why did you phrase it like this, Connor? Making us do our homework. Who would we play him over? I'd probably play him over the Wolves mids. I think that's an easy choice. I would have a real think about whether I would play Eze or Garnacho. I think I'd probably lean Eze because he has the penalties and he's the talisman, whereas Garnacho is a very good player and probably plays undeniably, he plays in a better team. United are just better than Palace this season, but the goals are a little harder to predict. So that's what I would say. I'd say Eze is probably the line in the sand. And if you put Garnacho above, he's probably making your starting 11. If you put him below, he's probably falling just short and landing first bench.
I have not owned Garnacho all season, but I'm looking forward to bringing him in to my side in game week 35. So right now, the next three fixtures are most excellent for Manchester United. They play away at Bournemouth, who've been shaky in the back. Then they play home versus Sheffield and then home versus Burnley. So I would easily start Garnacho if you have him in these next couple fixtures and look to use your transfers elsewhere if you need to build up a double game week 34 team. But he's a great option, and he's having a nice tidy season. He might end up on 150 points this season for his first real Premier League action.
Yeah, he's definitely on the menu for my team as I have no chips left. So I will be looking to plan for double game week 37 starting yesterday kind of thing. Let's close out. This is a personal question. I wanted to know, there's a lot of questions and chatter about the best assets for double game week 34. And we have one of the most knowledgeable Wolves fans in the entire world, let alone the US of A, involved with our podcast. That is Dan, aka at FPL underscore Black Wolf. So I wanted him to rank the top three Wolves players to potentially bring in. He answered like I hoped he would, with Ronaldo Aitnori as firm number one. He's playing out of position as a cheap budget enabler defender, and he expects that by all reports, he will be fit and playing in game week 33, let alone double game week 34. So all speed ahead, full speed ahead on that one. Second place, he had Cunha. He thinks Cunha will be fit and will be back on penalties in all likelihood as the kind of silver medalist. And third place, he has Sarabia. He's a little scared off of Wang with the uncertainty of minutes and hasn't yet featured. So he thinks that that could easily swap with Wang being the bronze medalist if he gets minutes in 33. But right now, Sarabia, 4.6 million on penalties, putting up some good advanced numbers. I think he's averaging about 0.46 XG per match. And with penalties and a team that is actually scoring goals this season, as opposed to kind of being a little more stout defensively, no reason not to be tempted by the Sarabia man. So thank you, Black Wolf. Great to have you still engaged in the podcast. We love you. We're sending you wishes for a full recovery. And with that, we'll take our final break and come back with our transfer plans and captaincy shouts.
All right, Bucks, time to shout it from the rooftop. We have transfer plans and captaincy shouts. You got two free transfers this week. Love to see a green arrow when you don't make a transfer and then also head into game week 33 with two. So how's your lineup looking? What are your thoughts here on a Monday before we have European action?
Yeah, so I'm pretty set up, at least for double game week 34 is concerned. I have no Spurs guys, so I don't have transfer plans to make with those fellas. And yeah, I kind of missed the boat on Heung-Min Sung and bringing him in, but I had Salah a little early. So you win some, you lose some, so to speak. My move right now is all about planning for double game week 34 and beyond, like I mentioned. And I don't really have any holes in my starting 11 at this point in time. So I'm going to just do some bench wankery. And because Douglas Luiz is flagged, I expect he'll probably drop in price between now and then. And also Villa have no double game weeks remaining, so they have no extra fixtures. I'm going to swap Douglas Luiz to Garnacho. It's a plan for the future. And again, frees up some money to get frisky, potentially make some more sideways moves in double game week 34. So that's the move that I'm planning. And
will you be starting him? Will you be starting him this week? Away to Bournemouth?
I will have a real thought about whether Solanke or Garnacho gets the nod as my kind of seventh attacker.
I mean, you can't bench Solanke this week. You know how many pens that this stupid Manchester United defense is giving up every week? You're going to have to play Solanke this weekend. It's a luxury to have Garnacho as your first bench, and maybe somebody falls down the stairs and you bring him in off the bench. But I think it's a prudent move, and it helps set you up for the future doubles as well, since your starting 11 is so tight.
Yeah, I think the big risk is that Aitnori, if he doesn't play, I'll have to have either this Kirkez wanker or Maguire and his huge forehead come in as my third defender. And God, I hope that does not come to fruition. That being said, it's a risk I'm willing to take. No one's getting clean sheets. And, you know, slab head is good for a bullet header every now and again. So maybe the total eclipse will bring a total eclipse of the ball into the back of the net when it meets his head.
More eclipse content. More eclipse content. That's what we need here in the interwebs.
Ain't that the truth? So, and goes without saying, Haaland will be back in the goals against Luton, and he will be getting the armband for Team Red, White, and Bucks. Let's go to you.
It's just a reminder that earlier in the FA Cup, I believe, or it was the Carabao Cup, we did see Mr. Erling Haaland score not one, not two, not three, not four, but five goals. Five goals earlier in the season versus Luton. So he's a runaway captaincy shout. It just depends on what happens midweek versus Real Madrid. That's going to be a very physical matchup and a high intensity one. So there is the chance that he possibly gets rotated. And that's why, like Bucks mentioned earlier in the pod, you wait until Friday to make your moves, because we might get some more information that we can use to our advantage. Moving to my side, I have 0.0 in the bank, just filthy fucking rich Bucks.
Lovely.
And one free transfer. I am only looking at one possible move this week, and that would be to move Odegaard to Foden for a rogue captaincy shout. Again, I'm not playing for anything. Don't really have anything going right for me this season, so fuck it. Maybe I'll do that. Otherwise, I'll roll the transfer, and I'll probably make three moves in double game week 34. That's probably going to be more fun, because I think Odegaard is still a good shout versus the Villains. They've been giving up 2 to 3 goals pretty consistently, and I expect Arsenal to be locked in for that upcoming match. The only reason that I would maybe go with Foden, again, differential this week, and then I would probably move him out in 34 to grab Kai Havertz instead. So a little bit of the hokey-cokey in the midfield there with those mid-priced assets, but is something that I could do. Right now I have like 10 or 11 doublers. Some of them are middling defenders, but I'm pretty well set up if I want to play a 4-4-2 and only take a -4 in 34 to field 10 or 11 doublers. So that's where I'm at this point in time. But I do have some fun substitutes who sat on my bench this week who will come into the side. So it's almost like I'm getting some fresh blood off the pine. We're going to have the likes of Connor Bradley come in to start. And then also Reguilón, who is somebody we talked about earlier in the pod. He's been feast or famine, and a lot of famine. We're talking potato famine types of moments with him, but he will get the start for me versus Chef U. And I'm hoping he chimes in with another attacking return.
Yeah, someone get Reggie on some Nando's. The guy is starving out here. Definitely starving when Brian is starting him. Brian, how about maybe doing a sideways move of Odegaard to Kai Havertz? Save a future transfer. Get the guy who's putting the goals in the back of the net as opposed to giving the assist or hockey assist to create the chances. You like that move, or you think Foden's upside is just miles ahead?
I think Foden's upside in this match is miles ahead. Again, if I brought him in, I would captain him. And again, it's a hokey-cokey move. Like, not playing for anything. So could be fun to have two attackers in that Luton match. But
all vibes.
Know, one of us needs to go for fucking Kai, because you've been talking about him quite often on the pod, but haven't mustered the strength to bring him in. And either have I thus far this season. But, you know, Odegaard's been, he's been a mixed bag. I think I've brought him in. He's got 2 goals, 2 double-digit returns in the last 5 matches for me in between 3 blanks. So it's been a mixed bag. Probably would have been better off just grabbing Ben White and then getting Luis Diaz instead. But alas, this is where I'm at, and we'll see if he makes my match day squad on the weekend. And Bucks, that is a wrap.
Great pod. This was fun. We wish you, all of our lovely and loyal listeners, that you also land with us on Green Arrows in game week 33. We hope you are all set for a fun run-in with only 6 game weeks to go. This is nut crunching, butt clenching, whatever phrase and aphorism you want to use.
This is one of my favorite times where you just send the lemon emoji and the peach emoji. It's the lemon booty time, tight sphincters, tight matches coming down to the wire. Tis the season for the lemon booty.
And it's going to be fun. I think we'll have a lot of FPL point hauls with the double game weeks to come. We have three double game weeks remaining this season in the last 6 game weeks. So lots still to play for, lots of chips still to be thrown out onto the felt. And we will be here covering from the US of A, your favorite FPL USA podcast. We are Press Play Boys. And for Brian and Bucks, we love you. And for Black Wolf, we can't wait to be potting with you. Let's say next week. Let's put it out into the universe. We'll see you back here for our double game week 34 preview together with the Blackest of Wolves.